Welcome, listeners. This is Kim Stazala, Senior Partner at Design Group International and CEO of the Society for Process Consulting. With me today is Kristen Evanson, consultant and neuroscience-based coach at Junctures Consulting. Kristen is also co-host of the Third Turn podcast, which is a really fun leadership. Today, what we're going to talk about are the five social threats in change management. For those members of the Society for Process Consulting, whether you do coaching or strictly process consulting, I think that this topic is going to be fascinating and you'll gain a lot out of it. So welcome, Kristen.
Thanks for having me, Kim. I'm looking forward to this.
Great. So with that topic, five social threats and change management, I'm really curious how you made that connection and incorporated neuroscience into a consulting and coaching practice.
Well, that's both a professional and personal story. I noticed, Kim, in my work throughout my career working with organizations that whenever there was a strategic juncture or a strategic change that was needed, there was usually conflict that emerged within a team or an organization. So there was always something to navigate that was honestly just kind of unsettling for people. And on a personal note, when I would come up to change and transition in my own life, I just noticed how oftentimes my soul would be like super engaged, like, wow, could I do this next thing? And wouldn't that be awesome? And my brain was like, no, alarm signals, freaking out. So from both a personal and a professional standpoint, I became really intrigued to kind of get to the bottom of what that was all about.
Great. And tell me a little bit more. I know you've mentioned in the past sort of this difference of how our brain interprets something that might be a threat or something else. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yes, to get to the bottom of this, I studied brain-based coaching with the Neuro Leadership Institute and learned a bunch of things that were so illuminating and confirming and affirming of everything that I had had experienced. First, the brain is inherently resistant to change. We tend to distinguish, our brain just naturally distinguishes things as a threat or a reward very instantaneously and unconsciously. And in fact, it does that within a fifth of a second. So oftentimes our brain is perceiving something as a change as a threat and kind of linking it to some assumption or interpretation from, you know, some other part of our life that may not even be in play. So this threat instinct, and actually our brain is more predisposed, more quickly determines threat than reward. So there's just kind of a natural, and then there's negativity bias. And there are actually all kinds of things that say we tend to go pretty south and pretty negative with change. So, you know, the goal becomes how can we, certainly as consultants and facilitators of change, present opportunities or facilitate opportunities that are more easily interpreted as a reward or reframe them as a reward. If we can do that, it actually in the brain increases engagement. It increases our perception, our problem solving, our motivation, all kinds of good things flow if we can interpret or reframe something to interpret it as a reward.
Hey, very fascinating. I consider myself an optimist. So to know that behind the scenes, my brain is still automatically going to the is, you know, that's really interesting. So if we were to dive in for the listeners and briefly just share with us, what are these five social threats in change management?
Yes, I will say too, Kim, I positivity is one of my top five strengths. And there are times it's just out the window with just my brain, you know, natural southward tendency. But the five social threats that the brain perceives, actually the Neuro Leadership Institute did research to kind of identify these five, because oftentimes when we're perceiving a social threat, it's just something really squishy. Like, I don't know if this has probably happened to all of us, but you're in a meeting and you're like gosh, I feel really unsettled right now, or I don't feel comfortable with how this is being handled, or I feel like my role is being reconfigured in all this. So we can kind of find ourselves uncomfortable in social situations or in meetings, but it can feel really squishy. Oftentimes it's like, I'm not sure why I'm feeling this way. Why do I feel so concerned or uncomfortable? And again, the NeuroLeadership Institute studied this and identified these five social threats, and there's an acronym for them. It's SCARF, SCARF threats, S-C-A-R-F.
And I'm sure it's good, but if that's a terrible acronym. Like you're scarfing these down.
Oh. That's, yeah, you're right. But SCARF stands for, S is for status. We have a desire to feel esteemed, valued, and important. Certainty. We have a desire for context and clarity. We want to have our expectations met. And again, if you think of change, oftentimes there's uncertainty and ambiguity. So our certainty threat gets triggered. A is for autonomy. We have a desire for some measure of control or self-directed choices. And oftentimes in change, we feel like something is happening to us or being done to us, which puts us in that threat mode. R is for relatedness. We have an innate desire for connection and feeling like we're the in-group versus the out-group, which again can be easily triggered. And then finally, F is for fairness, and that's just desire for fair exchange and impartiality. So we just want to know that we're all being treated fairly. So any of these threats or any combination of them can send us into threat mode, which literally decreases our mental capacity to think creatively and collaboratively and courageously. So for those of us involved in change, if we want people to show up and feel engaged and collaborative and creative in their problem solving, it is, we would do well to know how to help people kind of reframe some of these things that are inherently threatening into rewards.
And I think sometimes just naming it provides a sense of relief. So if we can say, okay, we know this is a difficult meeting, let's go over these five threats that we know. And you said something really interesting to me about relatedness, and a lot of the discussion right now about othering of people. Mm-hmm. And you talk about fairness. Well, what's the opposite of fairness? Is people who've been treated unfairly in the past. And I can see how people who've been othered or faced injustices might come to a meeting immediately with that radar on in terms of how is this going to go down?
Yeah, absolutely. And we all have, again, the brain doesn't really distinguish, you know, even from our childhood, you might've had a neighborhood bully, or you might've had, challenges with your siblings. I mean, anything that just could be pretty normal, but the brain stores as a threat and something that's happening in our present day meeting or present day conversation with a colleague. The brain can literally quickly, again, within a fifth of a second, connect what is happening to that childhood experience. And then suddenly we're in threat mode. So I think to your point, if we can kind of pause and acknowledge some of these things, even as teams, as groups, to say what kind of threats. And here's, something really encouraging from a brain standpoint too, literally just naming and acknowledging emotions or situations like this can calm down the limbic system. Like just labeling it literally calms things down in our brain so that then we do have more capacity to engage and process and consider alternatives.
That's great. I remember a previous training I went to, where we were learning, I think it was conflict management or how to have difficult conversations. And the instructor said, listen, we might all be wearing adult clothing, but emotionally we're all 12 or 13. And I thought that was a great analogy because like you said, who would think that these things from your childhood or other sibling relationships or anything would come up in a business meeting where, again, people are acting professional and, you know, you're there to get work done. But really everybody's got their own thing going on in their head during these meetings. So I just want to repeat the five again, and then I'll ask you a specific question. So it was the status, certainty, autonomy, relatedness, and fairness. So those are the five. And what I would say, we have maybe like 5 minutes left or so. I would ask you to point out, help us as consultants, right? Fellow consultants or facilitators, of those five, which do you feel in your role as a consultant or facilitator, you're best able to model or manage?
Wow, that is a great question. And I might, this might be a cop-out, Kim, but I think it's our opportunity as facilitators to actually embrace them all and show up with awareness of them all. Because depending on, what's interesting is we each have our own SCARF profile. So I might be more predisposed to two of the five than you, and might have two. So any group we're dealing with, everybody's kind of got bringing their own, you know, threat perceptions to the party. So the best that we can do is to be aware of them all and to facilitate with them all. So as much as possible with relatedness to, or with relation to status, just to be aware that people, you know, are probably having status threats. And anything we can do as facilitators to recognize and reward contributions, even asking advice, asking input, providing learning opportunities for people actually increases people's self-perception of their own sense of status. But engaging people in the process and making sure to, yes, have an inclusive process than kind of us versus them, like you said. With certainty, as often as possible, as much as possible, to provide context and clarity. Certainly there's a lot of ambiguity and uncertainty in change, and things need to play out. But how can we help focus on what we do know? And how can we focus on maybe where we don't know exactly where something might be ultimately heading or end up? We do know the steps we're going to take that will lead us to that next place. So trying to turn that ambiguity into, you know, at least aspects of certainty. With autonomy, as best as we can, offering choices and options for people, you know, wherever possible to. And I think this is what's so great about process consulting, is it does give people choices. It actually facilitates people rethinking and coming to their own new ideas about opportunities. That's huge in terms of all of this. You know, it gives people a voice. It gives people a sense of contribution. But as much as we can offer choices and options, allowing people to kind of co-decide, that will help a lot. Relatedness, it's about fostering connections and belonging. So, you know, where in a lot of my consulting, I've noticed, you know, teams or groups tend to splinter into a couple different factions. And it's always been an invitation to find, okay, what's the common denominator under all of this? Where some people might be predisposed to A or others to B, what are the values and the things that unite us all? And then that, just that personal as well as the professional, how can we, you know, kind of provide high touch environments around change? And then with fairness, to reinforce fair exchange and impartiality. So just, you know, offering everyone access to information and clear expectations for everyone, just kind of normal things that, again, if we build all of these five kind of principles or values into the change that we help accompany, we'll just have people showing up with their fuller selves, increased brain capacity to, again, think creatively and courageously. It's just a win-win all around.
I really appreciate that. And being a consultant, I do sometimes find, so I'll say to people, listen, I'm comfortable with ambiguity, generally speaking. And you're maybe not, you know, so allow me to temporarily embrace that complexity for you, embrace ambiguity holds space for you. And in a very co-learner kind of way, just let them know I've got you, you know, like we'll through this together. The other one I think is funny as a consultant, people who don't understand process consulting as much, which is all about walking alongside co-creation, solving together. The S, the status is sometimes board members will look at me and say, well, you're the expert. That's why we hired you, right?
Right.
Some status being associated with your level of expertise. And again, I always have to remind people, you're an expert too. I mean, you're an expert in your context. I'm a guest here. I'm going to be gone. I'm not an employee here, you know? So that's as a consultant, I mean, it's this fence you straddle sometimes between wanting to honor their indigenous wisdom and everything about them, yet realizing at the end of the day, they came to you for answers. And how can we answer those questions together instead of, again, like you're saying, pitting people against each other and who knows what or doesn't have the information. So I really appreciate you sharing these five threats and then the opposite of those and how we can handle that during a meeting. So we have just a few minutes to wrap up. For our listeners, again, I want to let you know that we are with Kristen Evanson. You can visit her website, which is junctures.net. Make sure it's a .net that you type in. You can look for her on LinkedIn, Google the Third Turn podcast. And let me ask one final question then is, so now what? Now that people know this, what's some just quick advice you could give them for implementation?
Yes. Well, I think I would encourage people to think back, especially if we have, you know, fellow process consultants engaged here. It's just really kind of fun and interesting to think back on projects that I've done, that maybe you've done, and think about the five SCARF threats. And honestly, every project I've done, I can identify clearly one or two or sometimes three that were very strongly in play. So I think that can be a fun way to just kind of get more acquainted with them and put them in context, make them a little more relevant. You can also go to the neuroleadership.com website, and there's a SCARF profile that you can take. It's just a 5-minute assessment. And you can, in this 5 minutes, identify your own SCARF predispositions. It's actually kind of fun. I've done this with teams to say, and then compared, so that teams, when oftentimes they come up to conflicts, it's usually one person having a status threat and another one. So it can be fun for teams or even just, you know, for family and friend relationships, but certainly for self-awareness. Especially as consultants and facilitators, to kind of know our own predisposition, be aware of that. I would encourage those as really good, kind of helpful, personal, practical next steps, Kim.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Kristen. I'm glad that you could join us today. And we will be continuing our series with other Society for Process Consulting members. Have a good day.